Well, let's prepare our hearts and minds to receive the word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this privilege and this opportunity. We thank you, Father God. We approach your word humbly and reverently, respectfully, Father God. We honor your word. We put your word at first place in our lives. And Father, we yield our spirits to the Holy Spirit, who will illuminate and give understanding and instruction and correction through the word to our hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God, that the Holy Spirit will unveil and unfold the word of God unto our spirits. We give you all the glory, all of the honor, and all the praise that's due to you. You're worthy of it all, Lord. And we give you praise. Thank you for the anointing that shall destroy every yoke of bondage. We thank you for the moves and manifestations of the Spirit, demonstrations of the Spirit to confirm your word with signs and wonders following. In Jesus' name, all to the glory of God. And everybody said,
amen,
amen, amen. Well, let's get right into it. We're going to be talking about restoration of intercession. This is part number two. Restoration of intercession, part number two. Part number two. And so we're going to start in 1 Timothy 2, because we're going to get right into the scriptures. And so last week we talked about like one side of the mountain of intercession when we dealt with situational scenarios. We said that we can intercede by bearing the infirmities of the weak, and that we are bear one another's burdens. And we talked about interceding for those who are spiritually immature. And we talked about the aspect of those in sin who needed deliverance and repentance. And so you have to go back to last week to hear the first part so that the second part will make sense to you and be a complete picture of intercession, so to speak. Now, you can go deep in all of these little areas, but what God is doing in our church is he's restoring the ministry of prayer here at Triumph Ford Christian Center, not only on a corporate level, but an individual level. Amen. He's restoring the ministry of prayer. There has been statements made by generals or men of God of renown, and ladies and women of God of renown, legendary, historic. They said they would, you know, some of the common things were failures are prayer failures. And so the criticality of this, the context of God restoring us in his intercessory ministry is huge. And I want you to get that concept tonight. Praise the Lord. And so let's dive right into the word. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. And it says to us, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, in prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now notice in those four different segments there are intercessions, which we have highlighted on your handout. For kings, for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Now I put the Passion Translation because I thought it was so gave such a good flavor to this and a flair to this, and really emphasized with simplicity and flavor the intent of what we're talking about. Most of all, I'm writing to encourage you to pray with gratitude to God. Pray for all men with all forms of prayer and requests as you intercede with intense passion. And pray for every political leader and representative so that we would be able to live tranquil, undisturbed lives And as we worship in awe-inspiring God with pure hearts, it is pleasing to our Savior God to pray for them. It's pleasing to who? To our Savior God, our Lord. He longs for everyone to embrace his life and return to the full knowledge of the truth. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? And so the other side of this intercessory piece, the other equation is there's four orders or kinds of prayer in the ministry, prayer ministry of the church that Paul is writing young Timothy to establish in this church. And so what is God doing to us? He's reestablishing this. He's restoring this. Now, there's a trickle-down effect because what happens at the church should be happening at your house. Amen. Restoration is at the church should be happening at the house. Amen. As you're partnered and connected with the church, what the grace that's on the house should be flowing to your house. Amen. Amen. So this ministry of prayer is something that you not only to be taught, but you also to catch it or be caught. You got to catch it. So you should be catching a spirit of intercession and prayer in the context of this order: supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. Okay? So there's an order of prayers and a plurality of prayers. So there's, as the Passion Translation brought out, all forms of prayers. And third, people to pray for. Because sometimes when we kind of draw back from prayer or backslide in prayer in the context, or drop our assignment in prayer, we start just praying survival prayers. You know what I mean? We're survival supplicating, meaning everything's about me, everything's about what I need, everything's about what my narrow scope and perspective is in life. You know, I need this. But see, people and not things are the priority. Right? Because so when you're survival, when you're missing it, you think about things. I need money. And your focus is on money. Well, God's put a premium on people. So if we have his heart of intercession, if it's his heart of prayer, then our passion should be about people. Save people, brothers and sisters. Amen. Not just in this church, but in the general church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. People who are unsaved and unchurched. That passion should be growing as our prayer life is growing. Okay? So God is a God of order. If you don't understand his order, you mess things up. And so, like we said last week, and we said, I think we mentioned it a little bit Sunday, you know, if you don't know how to pray, that's a big deal. And knowing how to pray is more important than a college degree or college education. Amen. So if you know how to connect to heaven and get answers and move mountains, amen, and bring heaven to earth, you're very valuable in the kingdom of God. That's more important than a PhD degree. Amen. So if you don't know the order, you mess up. So first order is supplications. Everybody say supplications. Now let's go through supplication for just a second, and I'll share that. A petition, a earnest entreaty, an humble request, something specific and exact. So there's a level of specificity, a level of exactness, and we get that derived from the Word of God, where we can place clear, direct focus on and faith in for. So petitions based on the legality of the Word of God, the authenticity of the Word of God. Amen? So you've seen, as we put out, I have up here our prayer petition. It's a lot of pages, but it's got a lot of scriptures because it's a legal instrument for this church for this year. This is what we all agree, align. There's many of you that signed it. You know, if you hadn't signed it, we'd ask you to do that. But this is what we pray for. This is our church petition or supplication document. Now, supplications, you can pray over and over again, and particularly if that area is not coming to fruition or being manifest, or you don't feel like making a connection here, you got to pick it up again. Amen. And, you know, the Ephesians prayers fall in that line, you know, where we pray those regularly. You don't stop praying those. Amen. And you pray, you know, the prayer in Philippians, the prayers in the Colossians, those are to be prayed regularly and as often as you can. Amen. Those are under the supplication standpoint. Okay. For whom can supplication be made? We pray the prayer of supplication for ourselves concerning both spiritual and natural needs. Now, you have both. A lot of people just bypass the spiritual need and they just run right to the natural need. I need money. I like what Brother Steve said. He said, you know, sometimes you got to go back and say, I'm a tither. I'm missing it somewhere. Am I missing it somewhere? Is something going on here? Do I need to repent and change course, correct course here? Because it's supposed to be working. Amen? Healing's supposed to be working. That belongs to you, right? When you go to the doctor, you expect him to come up with a solution. When you go to Dr. Jesus, you know, the Jehovah Rapha, your Lord, your physician, he has the answers. It's supposed to be working. Are you listening to me? So you got to go back and say, okay, what's going on here? Amen. Am I missing it somewhere? And then Philippians 4:6 is a beautiful illustration, scriptural illustration. We can put that up there. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. So nothing should be in our worry circle or anxiety arena of our heart and mind. Nothing should be burdening us, because worry is spiritual contraband. Anxiety is spiritual illegal. That's illegal substance in you. He said, don't worry about what? Nothing. So if you're worrying about your bills, you're worried about your children, you're worried about, you are sinning. Amen. But he said, but in everything, in what? Everything, by prayer and what? Supplication. There it is. There may be a natural need, but in most cases, there's both. There's a spiritual need. And I'll tell you this, just as an insight, the spiritual need is more important than the natural need. Well, Pastor, you don't know. I need thousands of dollars. No, you need to get the spiritual need taken care of, or the spiritual issue remedied and fixed. Amen. Y'all have heard the story about Brother Copeland being behind $1 million, and he kept praying to the Lord about the $1 million, but he said, your issue is not $1 million. I can give you $1 million today, but 6 weeks you'll be back in the hole again. Amen. He said, but there's a spiritual issue in your ministry that you haven't dealt with. You got to think about that. Is there a spiritual issue I haven't dealt with? And our position is to be humble, amen, and be quick to repent if it's something we've neglected or omitted to do, amen, and then obey divine instruction. Do what the Lord tells you to do, amen? Praise God, hallelujah. And then he says, let your request be made known to God. Second, we pray the prayer of supplication for other people, for believers and all saints. We can actually use this for people in authority and those kinds of things. Even if they're not saved, you can still group them in there. We pray for the prayer of supplication for all men, those in authority. And then for what can supplication be made? So we got the whom. And then we got the what here. Supplication can be made for laborers to send laborers into God's harvest. Because the harvest is what? Ripe. The laborers are how many? Few. And you know it's few because They say less than 12% of San Antonians attend church of any kind, of any. And you're talking about in the metroplex. In the city limits, 1.5 million, and you're talking about in the metropolitan area, Bexar County, Greater Bexar County, 3.5 million. Amen. So a lot of people don't go to church. That's why God assigned us to go. First mission statement. Go. Preach the gospel. But there's a prayer assignment with that. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth what? Laborers into his harvest. It's his harvest of souls, but he needs people to go to work in that harvest field. That means what? Compelling people to come to church, witnessing the gospel, getting people coming to the Lord, stirring up people, restoring people who have been unchurched or backslidden back to God. That it is, like I said last Wednesday, some of it's a little heavy lifting or muddy boots type of ministry, because a lot of people don't want to be bothered with new Christians. Amen. All right, and then second supplication can be made for the rain of God's Spirit to be poured out on the earth. Zechariah 10:1, he said, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of what? Latter rain, and the Lord will make bright clouds and give showers of rain into everyone, grass in the field. So we see in Zechariah 10:1 that this word ask is a urgent, earnest entreaty. So it's just not a, God, would you please send a little rain? No, it is intense. It's passionate. It is, Lord, there's an immediacy and an urgency with it. Amen? And an earnestness to it. Praise the Lord. So that's another one. We can offer prayer supplication to obtain forgiveness. There's times where there's a need for corporate repentance. If we've not been doing our J-O-B, our assignment, we're just coming to church and doing church, but not being the church. There's a time when we had to repent. Remember, how many times did he say repent in the book of Revelations? 7 times to how many churches? 7 churches. Why? Because they weren't doing everything they were supposed to be doing. Now, remember, repentance is a grace. Because in Timothy, it tells us that God would peradventure grant them, that's a given thing, grant them repentance to life, to be restored. So what is God doing? He's asking people to intercede, stand in the gap for the things we've missed it on, for the things that we've messed up in. Amen. And there's men of God that's talking about, they've been told, you know, God called this person to do this, and that means he called that church to do that. And when he called that person, he called that church. We're one, right? We're hooked together. And so when that church doesn't do what they're supposed to do, he has to call somebody else and raise somebody else up. Amen. God will give you grace, listen to me, and space to repent. And part of that's asking for forgiveness, because there is a sin of disobedience. Nobody's running around the church right now, but praise God. This is good stuff. Amen. And then he goes on to say, finally, verse number four, we pray for the supplication to lift up the spiritual needs of others. And so we see the Ephesians and the Colossians and Philippians prayers. So the note, the word prayer in these prayers. Now turn to Ephesians 1:16. If you can put it up on the screen, that way we can see it. Ephesians 1:16, Christian. Ephesians 1:16. Look at, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention you of me in my, whose prayers? My prayers. Go to Philippians 1:9. Philippians 1:9. Philippians 1:9, having made known the mystery of his will according to his purpose in himself. Now, that's Ephesians 1:9. Philippians 1:9. Philippians 1:9. Hallelujah. So everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So everybody say restoration,
restoration
of intercession.
Intercession.
Amen. All right. And this I pray. Now notice these words pray. Now again, these are not just passive prayer requests. I pray. These words in these verses that we have highlighted for you in your handout, the words prayer or pray in the listed verses literally means supplication or earnest prayer. So we're not praying this passively or haphazardly. These are earnest prayers. These are supplicatory prayers that we're saying, God, we need this. Amen. We need you to give us and grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. And you're serious business with God. You're not mad at him. You're not screaming at him per se, but you are intensely passionate and purposeful about it. Okay? Does everybody follow me?
Yeah.
All right. We're good there with supplication. Now, here's the thing that the Holy Spirit gave me, I believe, as we were putting this together and studying that. See, this order of prayer, all four of these things, is applicable to five things. Now, these are not in your notes, so these are Holy Spirit downloaded. So you can add these to your notes. What are these four things applicable to? One, to immediate situations. You know, I'm a literal, so they'll all start with I. So the immediate situations. Number two, the instructed assignments. What's our assignment? This. Believe this. This is our assignment, to pray this in. It's our faith project, prayer project. Amen. Prayer assignment. Amen. And then number three, the intentional cause. So number one, the immediate situation. Two, the instructed assignment. Three, the intentional cause. Four, the individual case. Some of you have individual cases that pertain to just you and your family where you need to apply this order. Amen. Now we'll cover the other four, three in a minute. And then number five, an independent group concern. You know, one of the things that we put in here is that, you know, obviously three kind of, if you study it and meditate in it and look at it and, you know, kind of put your eyes on this legal instrument that we've have before the Lord, is that, you know, more people. Brother Steve was alluding to it in his prayer to say, thank you, Brother Steve. He quoted the numbers. Amen. That was our independent group concern. We want to see, amen, more people, right? And then he quoted also the money, more money to be able to get the things done and not be hamstrung for ministry, and then more help. Amen. Every department needing more people. Well, we don't go to the world to get that. We have to talk to God to get that. We have to supplicate to God about that. Amen? And that's all in here.
Amen.
But the concern is that people just, oh, that's another handout. And that's why we said, even with the restoration document, you know, these scriptures are there because you got to firmly establish God's word of promise and the words of prophecy in your heart so that you're fully persuaded and that you're not easily dissuaded from this season and this time and year of restoration. So you stop applying your faith, your focus, your faithfulness towards restoration. That's why we give you, because faith comes by what? Hearing. And faith, shouldn't come every once in a while, it should come every day. That means you load up on restoration thoughts. Set your mind to be thinking restoration once you walk out of the house. Somebody say glory to God. You look at that prophecy and sometimes you might have to do warfare with. Look, Mr. Devil, this is what's been spoken. And the word says, if I believe the Lord, I will be established. And so I believe his word. And if I believe his prophets, so shall I prosper. So this prophecy is going to prosper in my life. Somebody say glory to God. And so you take those restoration scriptures and you work them over and over again until you almost memorize all of them. Spiritually in your heart, you can recall them. Because when the devil whops you upside the head and says nothing's going to be restored in your house, you just fire back the word back in his face. Are you listening to me? So that's where we can miss it and mess up, is by just stuffing our bags full of documents but never looking at them. Never applying them. Amen. This is our church. This is our assignment. Amen. See, there must be an active faith part. Active part of our faith, our focus, and our faithfulness. Now turn there. I don't have this in your handout, but turn to Colossians 2:5. Colossians 2:5. Very interesting scriptures the Holy Spirit quickened to me today, this afternoon, at church. thank you for being able to get revelation at church. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that good? So Colossians 2:5. Thank you. Put it up there. Look at what it says here. For though I am absent in the flesh, this is Paul writing to the church of Colossae, yet I'm with you where? In the spirit. We're going to talk about that a little later. Rejoicing to see your good order. King James says it this way, your order, and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of what? The steadfastness of what? So is your faith steadfast in his word of restoration, his words of promise, his words of prophecy about restoration? Your steadfastness where? In Christ. Now, so let me translate a little bit this for you. If you can put it in Amplified, let's go and just change the version to Amplified, because it's very colorful and flavorful in the Amplified. Praise the Lord. Is it all right? Though I'm with you, away from you in the body, yet I'm with you in spirit. Delighting at the sight of your standing, what? Shoulder to shoulder in such orderly array, and the firmness and the solid front and steadfastness of your faith in Christ, and that leaning of, keep going, it's still, the entire human personality on him in absolute, what? Trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. Amen. Somebody said glory to God. So this word order, one of the commentary definitions of it is the word rank. Rank. So there's ranks for churches. I was watching a YouTube video this week in the Lord had me led to a prayer seminar. And just leave, I don't know if you remember the old prayer seminars Brother Hagin used to do, but those prayer seminars, and Sister Jeannie Wilkinson was in that. She was a prophetess of God, and she's in there. And then he couldn't close the service because, you know, Sister Jeannie had a word from the Lord. And so he trusted her, and, you know, obviously. And brought her up on stage, and she began to prophesy about that Brother Hagin was moving up. This is way back in the 70s now. 70s or early 80s. He was moving up to a higher rank or order in the spirit. How many of you know every one of you have rank? It's depending on how much you can handle and how many orders you and follow. You don't get promoted without faithfulness. He said, restoring your joy and steadfast in faith. So don't think of, okay, pastor's giving, make us pray again, and you know, pray. You know, and Brother Steve was alluding to the prayer, but he wasn't doing it in a negative, thank God. But he was saying, these are assignments. I get my orders, and all I do is pass it on. Hallelujah. And there's another order coming. I'll tell you at the end. Praise God. Well, he wants us to know that we've got our prayer stamina back and our prayer steadiness back. Because it's easy to get lazy and just say, well, these resurrections over, you just flop. No, if we don't do our assignments, our orders first, then we never get new orders. And then our rank stays low. God can't hardly use a church that doesn't want to do what he wants them to do. Are you listening to me? And so Brother Hagin was being promoted in the spirit, and I was watching it, and the Holy Spirit, he said, Colossians 2:5. He moved him up to a place where he was on a national level. The nations now were in his wheelhouse, in his responsibility. God said to me, he said, if you can't pray for the community and the needs of the community, because that's what this church exists for, not to give us a place to do church and have fun and fellowship. Come on, this church exists to meet the needs of this community. And part of that is our prayer responsibilities and our prayer assignments. Are you listening to me? And if we fumble the football, so to speak, you know, God's almost like Brother Steve's favorite coach, NFL coach, but I'm not going to call his name, but praise God. And if you fumble the football, you don't get the game anymore. Now, God's given us a chance to take advantage of this restoration grace that's on us. Amen. Amen? And so when he said, pray for those in authority, we read the scripture, pray for these things, pray for these. We can't be so narrow-minded and just think about our own stuff. We shared that video from Brother Copeland that says, you know, there needs to be a higher order. There it is again. An order of prayer coming from the church family. And particularly for the lost. Because less than 15% of San Antonians are going to church. But why they don't come to church? Because people aren't praying. Amen. Y'all remember the Bible reading today? If you're keeping up on the YouVersion app devotional, it was about the parable of the minas. Yes. And one of the angles that the Lord showed me was that, you know, this is, you know, what you do with what you've been given. Each one of them were given 1 pound or 1 mina. But out of the 3 people that gave the report, only 2 did something. Amen. And so he said when it was joy and beholding their order, he was talking about their steadfastness of faith. That means it takes faith to stand, but it takes faith to go move forward. Some of us think, well, we get caught up, but then we lax our faith. And that's how we lose ground or lose momentum, spiritually speaking. I hope y'all hearing this tonight. And so we get casual. We get comfortable. We see we don't have to press. There's a pressing prayer. That's what these supplications and these intercessions imply. You got to press. And we have to do it with our faith, our focus, and our faith. And now, listen, you can write these down if you want to. There's five types of faith that, you know, people kind of angle around in. And so sometimes, this is the literal, so this is the Lord, Holy Spirit reminded me and talked to me. There's absentee faith. Those are the doubters. Man, it's more important to have, doubters are worse than dopers. I'm serious. Doubters are worse than dopers because they have no faith. And you know what happened when Jesus told Peter, "Where is your faith?" in Matthew chapter 14, and he was sinking. Where did you doubt? Or why did you doubt? Amen. So people with no faith are doubters. And then there's people who are argumentative faith. They all start with A. Okay. So and so those are debaters. Why are we doing that? Why we had to do that? Why do I have to pay tithes? Why did no argument, argue everything. Why does he want us to come to church on Wednesday night? Yeah, y'all laughing. Praise God. And then there's academic faith that people just can dream about it, can design it, can talk about it. Those are dreamers, but they're not doers. Then there's articulative faith. Those are just discussers. Talk, no walk. And then there's action faith. God says, I want, this is what the Holy Spirit said this afternoon, I want action faith in the area of prayer. That means believe me big and go big or go home. Some of us need to be thinking about the schedule for us is time sensitive. That means we're behind schedule. In other words, we got to start using our faith. Remember, he said, you can use your faith. We said this last week. You can use your faith like Brother Hagin did and reach it out to every person in his family. But if you don't have action faith, if you're not putting your faith into action, you're in those one of the other categories. It's either absent or it's either argumentative, and you're thinking, well, this ain't going to work. It's academic, where you only have in your head, in theory, but not practice. And then, or it's all articulate faith. That means I can explain the formulas and the principles, but I don't do them. Amen. Number two, prayers. Individually or collectively, corporately, such as the prayer of faith and the prayer of agreement. There's times we come together for that, praying once, but also, More importantly, this is a connotation of worship and praise. This phrase, prayers, can be done over and over again. By beginning with supplication, then moving into worship and intercessions, prayer is taken out of the mystical realm, and supplications then moving into worship and intercession, prayer is taken out of mystical realm and put in a spiritual order so that God can work. So as you ask, make that petition, you praise and worship God. There's a flow. There's an order. Supplications with thanksgiving. Amen? You don't give them without thanksgiving. All right? So let's break down this word worship. Spiritual worship rather than mental or physical worship is actually a form of prayer. The Holy Spirit helps you in your worship. Your spirit is a part of you that motivates you to worship. You start with supplications, which deal with the known will of God. Then you begin to worship because you're waiting on the Lord. You're ministering to the Lord. Amen. And then worship is the hookup that takes you from the mental realm into the spiritual realm of intercession. Remember, Jesus told the woman at Samaria, they that worship him must worship me in what? Spirit and in truth. We've barely scratched the surface, as the Lord told me this afternoon, of worship, spiritual worship. See, you move from one dimension into another out of the natural, logical, mental realm into the spiritual realm as you worship. Worship this way helps you, and you've heard me say this, zoom out from what's wrong with you and your circumstances and zoom in on what's right with God and what's righteous about his word of promise. You stop thinking about what's logical, what you feel, what the circumstances, how bad they are, and you basically zoom off of that and take your focus off of that and put your focus on him. Remember that scripture in that we just read, that he says, in leaning of your entire personality on him, his power, his wisdom, and his goodness. That means you stop thinking about you and what's wrong with you. Amen. That's a transitional process in prayer. First, you worship with your understanding. Then you, this Holy Spirit leads you to worship using the language of the Spirit, which is tongues. This is what we're going to talk about a little bit more. And one is a known language, while the other was an unknown language. Now, Paul gives a little bit of indication. Is he said, what 1 Corinthians 14:14-15, he said, what then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. So if you're doing all your prayers in tongues, you're missing the other half. And if you're doing all your prayers, praises in English, you're missing the other half. Is this good stuff? Okay, intercession. So it's standing in the gap in prayer between the persons or person who have provoked judgment upon themselves through their wrongdoing or an actual execution of that judgment. Or to put it more simply, intercession is prayer to hold back judgment. Because see, either through consent, ignorance, or disobedience, people invoke God's judgment because they've sinned. Now I said invoke, not provoked. Provoked. I'm sorry, not invoked. So in the positive sense, we can invoke God's mercy and grace. But on the negative side, we can provoke God's wrath. Now, God's wrath has already been revealed because he's already judged sin. And the wages of sin are death, and things happen. When people backslide, do things wrong, you, like I said, through consent, ignorance, or disobedience, they can provoke God's judgment. Now, you can't talk about this in super public areas because people say, well, God's not a God of judgment. Well, he is a judge. Amen. See, to be effective, intercession needs to be made at the prompting and under the direction of the Holy Spirit. So let's go to Romans 8:26-28. I'm going to try to finish up here. Everybody good?
Yes.
Romans 8:26. Go ahead and put it up there, please. We'll read it off the screen. Put in a New Living, New King James, please. Okay, thank you. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. P.C. Nelson says, you can't do it in your articulate speech or articulate language. Doesn't mean you can't talk. It just means you can't understand what you're saying. Amen. All right, verse 27. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession, there it is, for what? The saints. Now, why does he need to make it? Because we don't always know how to pray. That's why you need to have intercession. Because you can pray everything you do in English. I don't care if it's 5 pages long. But that's not all, perhaps, that can meet the requirement of heaven for that petition to be granted. Sometimes you need the Holy Spirit's, and oftentimes you need the Holy Spirit's help. Amen. For make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28. For we know that all things, everybody say all things, work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So this word intercession means seeking the presence and hearing of God on the behalf of others. So the Holy Spirit is an expert in one area. That's three major areas. He's an expert in knowledge. He's an expert in persuasive speaking ability. But he's also an expert in procedure and protocol. So the Holy Spirit knows, he's part of the Trinity. He knows how to approach God's throne the right way. We don't. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to help intercede for us. So this connotation is the Holy Spirit as our intercessor. He helps us approach God the right way with the right words to say or pray. Does everybody follow me? Because he's the expert in speaking ability. That's why we yield to him and give him way to give us utterance, the right words to say or pray. And then we yield to him because he knows the right procedure or protocol in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. He runs the realm of the Spirit. We don't. We exist in that realm, but we're really ignorant in that realm. We got to yield, lean on the Holy Spirit to help us because we're weak in that realm. Amen. In the natural context, just to understand. So at one time, this was a technical term for approaching a king, so for approaching God in intercession. We need an intercessor. The Holy Spirit comes alongside you and helps you pray. He doesn't do our praying for us. He helps us pray because he's a part of the Godhead. He knows all things, able to pray for all things that you don't even know about. And he's not praying against the will of God. He can only pray the will of God. And when you finish, you know that you prayed the perfect prayer and have covered all the bases. Somebody say, glory to God. And then the last one is the giving of thanks, the word of thanks, thanksgiving, expression of gratitude, and thanks to God and faith, expectancy that the petition and prayers will be answered. So that's the order. Supplications, prayers, primarily the worship side and praise side, intercessions, by the help of the Holy Spirit, the prompting and help of the Holy Spirit, and giving of thanks. Amen. And then the other aspect I want to emphasize real quick is that the importance of praying in tongues. So let's just read this one scripture, and then I'll cover these bullets at the bottom. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5. I'm going to read it out of that Passion Translation. I have it there. It is good that you are enthusiastic and passionate about spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. When someone speaks in tongues, no one understands a word he says, but he's not speaking to people, but to God. He is speaking intimate mysteries in the Spirit. Everybody say, in the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
And so that's going to be very important for us to comprehend and embrace. But when someone speaks in tongues, he speaks to encourage people, to build them up, and to bring them comfort. The one who speaks in tongues advances his own spiritual progress, while the one who prophesies builds up the church. I would be delighted if you all spoke in tongues. So that's what God wants us to do, all of us speak in tongues, and desire even more that you impart prophetic revelation to others. Greater gain comes from through one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless, here's the equivalency, there's an interpretation so that it builds up the entire church. So tongues and interpretation is equivalent to a prophecy, just like two nickels equal a dime. Okay? So, one, when you look at all these scriptures, so go back and study all these scriptures, everything we need is in the Spirit. Romans 8, the word, the Holy Spirit, or in the Spirit, through the Spirit, is mentioned 21 or 22 times. So he's emphasizing that everything we need is in the Spirit. Where is it?
In the Spirit.
Think of something. Somebody call something out. Where is it? Call something else out. Deliverance. Where's deliverance? Somebody call something out. Joy. Where is it? Safety. In the Spirit. Amen. Everything we need is in the Spirit. So why go to everything else? All the answers we need and desire are where?
In the Spirit.
Our place of authority in Christ and abundance in Christ is where? in the Spirit. We tap into His great wisdom where? In the Spirit. In the Spirit, we can overwatch, override, oversee, and overrun the negative things of the natural. Number five, we take care of business supernaturally where?
In the Spirit.
In the Spirit. Because everything gets done by speaking, we see further down in number three, item number three on the bottom, because he said, he that speaketh, speaketh not unto men, but unto God, howbeit in the Spirit, he speaketh. Amen.
No.
So here's the assignment. Write it down. Next 4 days, we're encouraging everybody to pray 1 hour or more a day in tongues. 1 hour or more a day in tongues. Your objective, get in the Spirit and lay hold of the things you need. Get in the Spirit and lay hold on the things you need. Now, next Wednesday, we want to hear testimonies of what you got in the Spirit. Answers you received. Where, sister? In the Spirit. Amen. Now, you can read those scriptures and kind of meditate and build a faith. But God wants to know, he wants to expand and enlarge our prayer capacity and prayer capabilities. Can you go to heaven and pull heaven now because you've been in the Spirit? Amen. Everybody good?
Yes.
All right, let's stand. Let's stand. Praise God.